Friends, the account of the visit of the wise men, or as they are sometimes referred to, the Magi, is a curious one. And let me explain what I mean by that. It's told in the gospel accounts only by Matthew. In fact, all of the accounts relating specifically to the birth of Christ appear in Matthew and Luke. Mark just launches right into Christ's ministry, and John begins his gospel with a tribute to the incarnation, that the Word became flesh. But Matthew includes this story that is distinctly different from even the other accounts related to the birth of Jesus. One always finds oneself pondering things like this, and you kind of wonder how Matthew, when the time came for him to set things down concerning Jesus Christ, happened to have access to this story. There's one side of that that makes it seem perhaps rather reasonable. Matthew, you will recall, was a tax collector, not a very esteemed role in Judea or Galilee. It meant, you see, that he was, to some degree at least, in his life as a tax collector, working for the occupying enemy, the Romans. But that also perhaps explains why he had some connection with people who might have been able to share just such a story as this with him. Let's review the characters. What do we know about Herod? Well, he wasn't a very lovable creature. Herod was part of a family of kings who ruled under the Romans in Israel. He was known as Herod the Great. It's a little confusing in the New Testament accounts because there are actually three different Herods mentioned in the New Testament. They were all linked up together, all of the same family, but not all the same person. This one was Herod the Great, and he actually died not long after Jesus was born. Now, the Herod family were Idumeans. They came from southern Judea, and they did have some connection with Judaism, but they were very much in the pocket of the Roman authorities, and it was by that means that they came to have this appointment as rulers in Judah. Herod the Great, from what we know of him from other sources, was not a very desirable friend or neighbor. He indulged in a great deal of intrigue and evil, even within his own family circle. I won't start reciting a lot of details. But he was also, as this passage hints at in Matthew, rather insecure. He was fearful, you see, of losing this position of authority that he held. And for the most part, the people in Judea, even though they were Jews, didn't really respect Herod. He was neither a faithful keeper of the Jewish law, nor was he seemed to be someone who was a person of faith. Anyway, that's the Herod side of things. Now, what about these wise men, the Magi? Well, I can tell you more about what we don't know about them than what we do, actually. I mean, we've tried to fill in the blanks. Writers have given them names, and we've decided there were three of them, and so forth. But we don't really know very much about them at all. We don't know who they were. We don't know where they came from. We don't even know exactly when they arrived. We don't know what they actually saw that made them convinced that what they had seen was an omen that a new king was born to the Jews. Oh, we've tried to sort of puzzle through what they might have observed, but what we can speculate from what we do know is that they were from some unknown place to the east, that they had made a substantial journey to pay their tribute. They were astrologers who studied the heavens. As was usually the case with those who studied the heavens in those times, they looked for signs in the heavens of unusual configurations of things that might have special significance. And we don't know from what source, but they interpreted what it was that they saw as the sign that a new king had been born. And they were persuaded enough of this that they packed themselves up and made an arduous journey to go and see the newborn king. Now, king of the Jews, well, where do you start? Jerusalem. And they went there. Probably made, one can imagine, a bit of an impression when they arrived. And they came with news that wasn't exactly joyfully received, because they came saying, "Where's the new king?" All Matthew says is that Herod was frightened. Herod was pretty paranoid anyway, but he always feared that someone was going to take his role as king. And now these strangers come from some distant place, and they come saying they have word or understanding that a new king of the Jews has been born. Herod was not a happy man. And it is curious because whatever it was they saw, in our world it's often depicted as this sort of great, bright, huge, beaming light that kind of shines right down on the Christ child. But it seems not really to have been quite that conspicuous, because Herod didn't know anything about what they were talking about. He hadn't any awareness of whatever it was in the heavens that they had seen that gave them this understanding of events that were happening. And so they, however, logically, came to Jerusalem asking their question. And Herod wasn't enthused, but he was definitely interested in finding out what they could tell him. Now, Herod consulted the chief priests and the scribes in Jerusalem in that generation. And we see little glimpses here of the fact that Herod knew something about this Jewish story of a Messiah. Because when he went to them, he's sort of saying, tell me again, what do we know about when the Messiah is to come? Because apparently Herod in his mind had linked up what these men from the east were asking with that, for him, vague promise of some special one to be born in Israel. Anyway, the response of the chief priests and the scribes gives us an understanding of where their thoughts were and what their understanding of the Old Testament message was. Because when Herod asked them that question, they came back with an answer from the prophet Micah. And they quoted him a verse from Micah, which identified Bethlehem as the place where the Messiah would be born. Now we have to put this in perspective. Micah wrote those words some 700 years before. We have to keep this long time frame in our mind in this story. So it wasn't like something from yesterday, or last week, or last month, or last year. This was a prophecy that was approximately 700 years old. And this, however, was the answer that the chief priests and the scribes gave to Herod. Well, as Matthew's account says, Herod called the wise men in privately because he had some questions for them. He wanted to know more specifically just when did they see this phenomena that made them believe that a new king had been born for the Jews. He got them to describe it apparently in as much detail as they could or he could understand. And then he shared with them the fact that they should focus their attention on Bethlehem. And then he added that little bit at the end, which was, true Herod. Oh, and when you find him, come and tell me, because I'll want to worship him also. Well, the story is interesting because it doesn't seem as though whatever the Magi had observed led them directly to Bethlehem. And yet, after they had received that word from Herod, they went to Bethlehem, and then it all sort of to them made sense because, again, the sign they had seen and had been following led them to their destination. And they went, and we know how the story continues and concludes. They went there. They found the Christ child with Mary. They presented generous gifts. They paid tribute. And then having a dream that warned them not to go back to Herod, they made their way home directly, as Matthew puts it, by another road. And, you know, Bethlehem's not very far from Jerusalem. There couldn't have been a large elapse of time between their conversations with Herod and their visit to the Christ child. But we don't know exactly when this all took place. Was this almost immediately after the birth of Jesus? Or was it a little later? We don't get the impression from Matthew's account that they were still taking refuge in the stable. They seem to have been in some place that could be described as a house. Anyway, it's a beautiful story. But it's a curious one. And we have to ask ourselves the question, you know, what is this story intended to tell us? What are we to make of this? Now, I think, you know, that Matthew recorded this because he heard the story, he believed it to be a reliable testimony, it had to do with Jesus Christ, and so he included it in his account of the life of Christ. But I'm not sure that even Matthew understood all the implications, at least when he first heard the story. And we can draw a few things from this story that shape our understanding of the times. We don't even know, you see, exactly what the Magi understood. They came to pay tribute to a newborn king. The account doesn't make clear to us that whether or not they understood this kingship in all its depth and magnificence, or whether to them it was just another king. But in any case, they came to pay tribute. Now, we can learn some incidental things from the story. From Matthew's account, we learn, for instance, that how the chief priests and the scribes understood the prophet Micah, that they understood that to be a reference to the coming Messiah, that they understood that the Messiah had been prophesied. In other words, that they confirmed the belief that existed in Israel that God had made the promise of a unique gift of a person he was sending to be their rescuer. Surely the story also tells us that perhaps we knew this already in a way, but it tells us, it confirms for us that this birth was of monumental significance. It wasn't just a little local thing in Israel. The very fact that God had drawn these individuals from a distant place, that he had somehow given to them an understanding of events that they observed that made it extra clear that this birth in Bethlehem was of major significance for the whole world. In fact, we learn from this account in Matthew that the birth of Christ was greater and more important than probably even most of those who believed that God would send a Messiah understood that it would be. It gave a fullness to that expectation that made it deeper and more significant. And of course, the story tells us that God has a presence and continuity in history that we often fail to understand. You know, for us, oftentimes it seems as though history is what's happened in the last little while. Maybe if we're being really generous, 100 years or so. But this has a long timeline to it. I mean, after all, here we are, 2,000 years later. Okay? Add to that the fact that Micah was talking about the coming Messiah 700 years before that. And Micah was a contemporary with Isaiah, who was also prophesying concerning the coming Messiah. This account reminds us that God continues his presence in history through the generations. That doesn't always match up with our eager expectations that God will make himself clear in the next hour or so. But it does underscore the fact that this gift of the Messiah was the culmination of God's plan that had been there for generations, that was unfolding in various ways as the time for the birth approached. And this visit of the Magi made it clear that it was a big and important event for everyone. I suspect that the typical Jewish expectation about Messiahship was that it was for Israel. And this account that Matthew shares with us opens to us the fact that it was an event intended to transform the whole world. That the Messiah was coming not just for a segment of a small segment of the world's population, but that God's intention was that the gift of his Son would transform the experience of humanity. And that's a big story. And of course, it lets us know that when John provides us with that little summary, for God so loved the world, really was true, really is true. And what we celebrate is a story to be shared, because it's a story for the world. And back then, well, in fact, in the moment, almost no one even in Israel knew that it was happening. But in the fullness of time, as this child grew and lived out his life and committed his life in the way that he did, that the Redeemer was the Lord's own son. And as this is a story for the whole world, so it's a story for the whole year. I sometimes think that the danger of special occasions is that we celebrate them intensely for a little while and then we kind of set them back on the shelf. But the things that we have been thinking about in this Advent Christmas season belong to all of life. Not an annual celebration only, but the annual celebration is just a little refresher, because we know that the gift of God's Son is for the world, a reflection of his love, and it's at the heart of everything that we are called upon to think and do and be. So take it with you. I haven't answered the mysterious questions about the Magi, because no very definite answers are provided for us. Don't you wonder what they did when they got home? They knew they'd been part of something very significant. I suspect they went home, talking all the way, trying to put all the pieces of all the information that they may have gleaned when they were in Jerusalem together, to understand that even though a new king of the Jews had been born, that it was much more than just some regal event. It was of God's own planning. And I like to think that their lives were never the same again. Friends, this is good news. Good news for the whole world. Take it with you. Rejoice. Thanks be to God.